Amen. There'll be no children's church this morning. We appreciate those who labor so fervently there in the mix of teaching our children. Appreciate these notes I understand have been placed around today, encouraging us to sing His glorious praise. It is good to see all of you here this morning. I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. This is a special day, isn't it? You know, in the house of the Lord, every day is a special day. For every born-again believer, this is a day which the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I don't need the government to sanction a day to make it special. But I'm grateful that we live in a country that recognizes motherhood and fatherhood. At least we do today. And certainly, we don't know what the generations to come may choose to do with that. But for the people of God, we have always been a people who acknowledge the gifts of God. And today we're going to do that. One of those precious gifts is the gift of motherhood. I want to thank the Lord for all of our mothers that are here this morning. In fact, I'm going to have a little fun with you girls, as I normally do. Most of you usually have forgotten about it by the next year if you stay at the church. But I normally enjoy this time. Because you know what? We are so blessed. In fact, many of the mothers that are here today, you guys have labored and served and been so gracious to so many of us, not just your own children, but you have blessed many of us as well, and we're so blessed by you. Thank you. But what I want to do today is I'm going to have all the mothers stand up. And that would mean whether you're a member here or not, visiting, first time or visiting for 4,000 years, we want you to stand up. We want to acknowledge you as a mother today and give praise to God and thanksgiving to you. And certainly as we do that, I'd like today to go through and get the oldest mother, which, you know, many women struggle with that. And then we'll do the youngest mother. And then, of course, my favorite in the oldest mother is the cutoff moment. You know, where do I start it? Because, you know, if I have you all stand up, and I love starting it at 40, but, you know, now that some of our ladies are hitting 50, the big 50, I love calling 50 because you see the ones that just turned 50 going, I'm going to kill him when I get a half a chance. But then we're going to also recognize with the mother here today with the most children here, okay? So we're blessed and we're so grateful for you guys. And let me just ask all mothers in our church congregation this morning to stand up, please. Would you please? Let's all stand up. Every one of you, whether you come here regularly or not. Thank the Lord for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are so blessed. Don't sit down, Jan. I didn't say sit down. You can sit down, Jan. I understand. You have a good excuse. But we just want to, I'd like to take a moment and pray for you. And then what I'm going to do is we'll start with the oldest so that I can have my fun right then, okay? But I'd like to pray for you this morning as motherhood is under attack. And I want to pray God's blessing and protection over you guys today, and not just today, but in the future. So let's bow our heads together. Will you guys pray with me as I pray for them? Lord, I thank you for these precious treasures, these gifts that you have in our church today. And I'm sure in churches like ours all over the country, and even other countries, there will be some evangelical churches that will honor motherhood today. I thank you for these dear ladies, Lord. I thank you that you have given them to us as precious treasures. I ask you to bless these dear mothers today, Lord, with a special day. But not just a special day, but a special time with their family and their loved ones. I pray that you will bless them with encouragement and that you will give them a great year. And may it start today. God, maybe some of them have had a rough time getting here. I know some have been sick, some have gone through difficulty. But starting today, Lord, may the favor of the Lord be lavished upon them in greater measure than ever before. I ask your blessings on their homes and their marriages and their children. And I pray, God, that you would bless them, and not just in the favor of the Lord, but in the coming days that you would protect them. Protect these precious treasures from the onslaught of the enemy who seeks to tear down motherhood, to remove its very sanction from our culture. God, I praise you that you have sanctioned motherhood and you have told us to honor them and to praise them and to exalt them. May we not just do it in prayer and on one day, but may we do it by our faithful love and service with them and for them in the coming days. So God, I pray that as our dear ladies are honored here this morning, but throughout this day, may it be a special time of blessing. And I look forward to hearing in the coming weeks of how powerful their day was and their family time and their time with loved ones has been, not just today, but in the coming weeks. We love you. We thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to do this. I want every mother 49 and under to sit down right now. 49 and under, okay? Now, you can look around and see who all's 50 and older, okay? We'll get that one out of the way. I praise the Lord for these faithful ones of this generation who have led the way for the next generation that just sat down. Ladies, you need to look around. You younger moms, look around right now. These are many of the ladies that God has used to forge leaders, godly men, godly young husbands, godly mothers and wives of your generation. Look at them, okay? And so when you're struggling, go to them and say, look, I need to know, is this normal? Because that's what Scripture teaches us, that the older women, the mature, as I often say, the seasoned ladies are to reach back and teach the younger. So younger ones see the seasoned ones in our midst. We praise the Lord for you. Now, what I'm going to do today for the older moms, now, what I love to do, I'm a flower person, as you guys know. This is for the oldest mom in the church today. This is a geranium. Love's full sun, endures the brutality of summer. And you know, by the time you get 50 and above, have you endured a few things, mothers? Hey, how many of you are still enduring some stuff? Amen. I know. My mother were here, she'd be going, I was 80-some years old, still putting up with him, okay? I understand that. But you know what? That's the geranium. They're tough, and you know what they keep doing? They keep blooming. They bloom and bloom. The more sun, now let me say this, you need to run them a little bit dry, okay? And let me say this, brown curly leaves on the edge is too dry, okay? But oftentimes, seasoned mothers go without accolades. They go without encouragement. They have done without themselves for many years, and yet they still bloom. And I'll tell you, we're blessed. Praise God for you girls. So, this flower will bloom for you all summer. I pray, our church prays, that it will remind you of how thankful we are for your ever blooming in the midst of uncertainty and struggles of life. Because whether you realize it or not, mamas, there's a generation coming behind you that's watching you. And they learn from you. They are listening, even though you don't realize it. They're observing. And Brother Mark and I often talk about it. We would to God our seasons, mothers, were still, because we would still be learning, wouldn't we, brother? So praise the Lord this morning. Okay, let's do this. We'll make it quick. All right, all mothers 59 and under, sit down. Amen. 59 and under. All right. All mothers, let's just go up now. We're going to go up like, let's just say, how about 65 and under? Sit down. Make it easy because some of you got your calculator out. All right. How about 70 and under? I know we got some hitting 70 soon, Mildred. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say something? You can give me that $10 later, brother. Not a problem. Yes, you have. You can put, you've helped keep me in this world, and you can take me out too, right? Amen. Wow, look, aren't we blessed today? Look at here. Man, we got them. They locked and loaded here this morning. That's great. How about, we're at 70, correct? How about 71 and under? 72 and under, sit down. Man, y'all are the youngest looking group of seasoned ladies I've seen. How about 73 and under, sit down? 74, you're saying I'm going to kill him because he's getting down very specific. 74 and under. Wow, look at us. Aren't we blessed? Man, beautiful group of ladies. 75 and under. Oh, Shirley dove on that one, did she? Amen. I hope you'll have forgotten this by Wednesday night, Shirley. Amen. Amen. How about 76 and under? Man, we're fighting tough. 77 and under, sit down. 78 and under, sit down. They're dropping now. Okay, 79 and under. Man, I tell you what, y'all are seasoning beautiful. How about 80 and under, sit down? Miss Norris, we didn't, Linda wouldn't let us recognize you, but you got it. I got you today. Amen. Look at it. All right, 81 and under. Look at you, 82 and under. Hey, there we go. She's thinking, take your time. Amen. All righty. Look who's with us today. Hey, Miss Bessie. If she can have, happy Mother's Day to you, and you're our oldest mother today, and we honor you. Okay? God bless you. Amen. All right, let's do this. We're going to do our youngest. I'm not going to make them 49-year-olds stand back up, okay? How about we do 30? Have we got 30 and under? Stand up, mothers. 30 and under. Not yet. Doesn't count. In God's program, it does. Amen. All righty, all right. Now, what we've got for the youngest mother is this flower right here. Now, if you put this one in full sun, you're going to have to put a hose pipe and screw it in right here, okay? Because it will need it. Just put it in part sun, part shade, and it will bloom all season long. It's a beautiful, beautiful flower, and it just reminded me of the freshness, and the more you cultivate it, the more it blooms. So it's a beautiful time. So we're at 20, is it 29, 30 and under? Is that correct? All right, how about we do 28 and under? Oh, that cut, Kathy. All right, so we got, you're it this morning. Well, congratulations. And how old are you, mother? How many? 27. I remember you when you were this tall. Amen. Congratulations. That is your flower. Now I want to get the mothers with the most children, the most hombres. Okay? I guess that's the right word. If not, Latino folks will get me after. Where's Hector? Is that right? Wrong. Okay. What's the right one? Most children. Who? Niños. N-I-N. That's like a storm. Hey. Los Niños is not a storm. Okay. Mothers say, if you were in my home with three kids, that's a storm. Oh, amen. We can have fun in God's house, people. It's okay. It's all right. Wave Petunia likes the sun, part shade is a little bit better. Takes a lot of water. If you see it starting to go down flat on top, put more water in it. I usually water mine at night. I like that for the mother with the most niños, okay? Because it blooms and blooms and blooms. And certainly God has told us in His Word that happy is the man, and I believe the woman, that has their quiver, their home filled with the plants, the blessings of the Lord. And so this morning, I know we have many that have children. Some are grown and they're gone. We honor you and we love you guys as well. But I do want to honor those that are here today with the children here. So let's see. Let's start with if you have, multiple kids is multiple kids, right? So let's start. If you have two children or more, mothers, stand up. Karen's going, I got to get up again. I'm over 30. This is killing me. Hey, I'm trying to help all the deacons out as much as I can today. Let's see here. All right, two kids. So if you have three kids or more, remain standing. Three kids or more, remain standing. Okay, look around us. Look at here, guys. This is great, isn't it? Amen. All right, if you have four children or more, remain standing. Now, I'm talking about in the house. Okay, that helps us. In the house. How about five children or more in-house remain standing? Okay. Oh, we're down to two. How about six children in-house? Six children in-house. All right. Well, you keep trying, Mary Jo. We're going to. Well, look at here, Miss Angela. Congratulations. Amen. I'll tell you what, we've watched hers grow, and they are growing so fast. She's, tell you what, it's been amazing. Beautiful family this morning. In fact, we're blessed. We got Alan's mom and dad with us this morning. We'd like to welcome you guys as well. It's good to see many around our church family. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's have some fun. We did. It's a great time. And, you know, I love family. Isn't it awesome? Isn't family precious? Don't you believe that was God's plan? That didn't mean that it wasn't going to be without struggle, without difficulty. That's ever since the fall, that's been the course. But the beauty of it is for the family that knows Christ, for the family that has His Spirit in the midst, that His Spirit empowering them to be godly husbands and godly mothers or wives, and then fathers and mothers, godly children. You know what you can count on? You're going to see some of that this morning. You can count on peace. You can count on joy. Not always an easy garden. In fact, we went the other day to pick some flowers up at Josh's place, and while we were there, we were picking up Tammy's Mother's Day, a rose for her. She likes those ever-bloom, those roses, those knockout roses bloom all summer. And I was laughing because I reached down to pick one up, and I went, well, what kind is this? Ow, a thorn! Give me a break! Who put thorns in roses? Of course, we busted out laughing, and I knew there were thorns and roses. I just stuck my finger on one of them. But that's true of life. There's thorns in life. There's difficulties. There's things we don't count on, things we can't plan for except for us bowing the knee to the Lord and saying, God, I can't do this without You. And family's the place that gets it done. And that's why Satan has unleashed an all-out assault upon marriage, upon family, upon child-rearing, because he understands that the core of every society is the family. And as goes the family, so goes society. And sadly, what a sad testament to what's going on in our own culture today. Understand, that's the battle. Now, we've been studying since January, the Spirit-filled life. You actually can read this yourself in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning in verse 16 or so, all the way through chapter 6. We're actually going to take it into employees and employers, all the way to chapter 6, verse 9. We understand that the Christian life, okay, if it does not impact the very core relationships between human beings, if it does not affect and change the relationship of a man to his wife and a wife to her husband and that couple to their children and those children to their parents, and certainly that group of people to the society in which it's to serve, guess what? It's not been changed by Christ. What we know the Scripture teaches is that when God's Holy Spirit is in the house, things change. Any of you been saved long enough, you get it? You know, when God's Holy Spirit's in the house, things change. Y'all ever have one of them mothers? Any of you have one of them mothers that was the white glover? That was my mother. I'll never forget that one thing she said. I went down to her house one day, and she had aged up a bit. She got one of them seasoned things called a cataract. Now, my mother was impeccable about cleaning stuff. She was a clean freak. And so I'll never forget, I brought her home from getting her cataract removed, and she walks in the house and she goes, Dadgone, this place is dirty. Had I known it was this dirty, I'd have left that cataract on there. I thought that was hilarious. Just leave me with the shells on my eyes. And what she was meaning was, you know, she was a cleaner. Well, understand, that's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is at work in a person, and listen, every person who is truly born from above, who is truly a Christian, has the Spirit of God living in him or her. And that he brings about in them change. And that he's a change agent, we would call him today. He brings about change. It's called righteousness. He takes lips that once cursed him, Lips that once mocked him and turns them into lips that praise him and worship him. He takes hands and feet that once ran from him and turns them and they run to him. They run to the Lord. And that's the testimony of many of you. It's one of the reasons I get so blessed by seeing these who lead us up here, and even in the choir, see them singing and playing. Even Brother Bill was there when he came to know the Lord. I knew what was going on. I've seen the change. I've heard the mockery. I've seen that. And when you see what God does, that's the Spirit of God. Now, today I want to finish up, and I believe we will, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians just for a second. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been on verses 1 through 3 now for several weeks. In fact, we've been speaking on children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This has been a wonderful time. I've had a lot of fun. I don't know about any of y'all, but I've had a blast in this area because we've gone through many of the Proverbs, the teachings of the Word of God that teach about the importance of children learning to obey. And we certainly have spent time, and we've talked about correction. We've talked about discipline. We've talked about how important that the rod of reproof will drive the foolishness that's in the heart of a child far from them. It's not just whooping them, but I'm telling you what, our culture that removes corporal punishment ultimately loses its clout. In fact, one of our dear ladies was sharing with me yesterday, and I'm going to read this to you, because actually from their teaching material, now this would never be found in a public school curriculum. This was in homeschool curriculum, which certainly is, I believe, Christ-honoring, in this particular case, very Christ-honoring, because it teaches a powerful principle, okay, about how oftentimes children need, we call them adjustments. You ever use that term? I think we need a little attitude adjustment. Y'all ever had that? We need a little action adjustment, and I'm going to share this called speed adjustments. A man stopped by, and he wanted to know why my son John had become so slow. I looked out the window, and there was John running so fast he had been and gone. Before I saw him look at him go, I said to the man, "Do you call that slow?" He seemed to be fast when he wants to be. The man said, "Well, he appears to be. One of those two-speed boys, you know, sometimes fast and sometimes slow. He can run a mile in nothing flat. He can run right out from under his hat when there's nowhere really to go. And yet, that very same boy is as fast as a jet. We'll take all day and sometimes two to get to school. I'm sure that you send him to school, but yesterday he didn't arrive. All he would say was, 'Yes, he started at 8:30, but it took him so long he got there late.'" "How late?" I said. Said the man, "A day." "I see," said I, "and I think I can say he won't be late again. He needs a little adjustment in his speeds. And I'm sure I know the place to adjust." "Well, then," said he, "that's that, and I must be on my way." "Thank you," I said. "And if you see John as you go by, would you be so good as to send him in? There's never a better time to begin. There's never a better time to begin a speed adjustment than right away." "Agreed, and I will," said the man. "Good day." And just a few minutes after that, in came John, and down he sat. "You wanted to see me, I understand?" "I did and I do, but you'll have to stand. At least at first, for what I need, I'm going to have to adjust your speed. And when I'm through adjusting it, I think you won't much care to see it." "Do you know what I mean?" said he. "I'm afraid I do. Is it going to be terribly long before you're through?" "Why, not at all," said I. "Like you, I can be speedy sometimes too." And as soon that his speed was adjusted and also the seat of his pants was dusted, it was busy work, but it didn't take long, though I double-checked as I went along, just to make sure there was nothing wrong. And whatever was wrong, I set it straight, for since that time, he hasn't been late." Wow. There's truth in that. And understand, we've been studying in Ephesians God's plan for the family. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4 quickly this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. May God bless the reading of His Word today. Guys, I'd like to go back just for a second. We've covered children, obey your parents. We've covered that multiple times. You understand what that means. Those who are under your roof, they're responsible to be obedient to that which you've asked them to do. Obedience is the action portion of this. And he goes on and he says in verse 2, honor your father and mother. Now, we left off with that last week. I want to go through it back again very quickly. To honor your father and mother is much more than just a day when you call and say, I love you. It's much more than a day than you just give a card. It's much, much more than taking them to lunch. Like, if you're like my family, we're all heading out after this down to see Tammy's 90-year-old mother. We're going to spend time. But you know what? Honoring them is much more than just a day. In fact, Scripture teaches that word honor means to fix the value of. In other words, to set as valuable, worthy of respect, to find worth in them, love, to regard highly, to show respect and consideration. Now, what I found is neat. Now, remember, let me remind you, we're talking about Spirit-filled people. So we're simply saying, this is what a real Christian young person looks like. This is huge. You need to get this, young adults. This is what a real Christian youth looks like, okay? No matter what society says, no matter what your friends say, no matter what peer pressure says, the Word of God says this is what a young person who's been saved and whose spirit, the Spirit of God is in control of their lives look like. Number one, they obey. Number two, they honor. They treat their parents, their mothers, their fathers with respect. It doesn't say here if they've earned it, if they deserve it, if you like what your parents have done. What it simply says is you show them respect, you show them honor. It's not just obeying. Do you realize, can you obey without respecting? Can a young person obey a parent without showing that parent respect? Absolutely. In fact, you can be teaching your child an incredible truth, and certainly, parents, that's your calling. You can be studying Proverbs with them. One of the things we learned in Proverbs over the last several months is how many things it says, teach, fathers, teach, mothers, teach, children, listen. You can be hearing truth from your parents, and you know what sometimes kids will do? Now, that one used to light me up. They'll roll their eyes. They'll, how did he know that? Been there, experienced it. How about this? Well, that's just what you think. Who are you to tell me what to do? Really? Can we help you with that one? I'm going to go do this, but I just want you to know. In fact, there's the opposite of that, is I'm just not going to answer. I'm just going to look at him. Any of you ever have a youngin' to give you the eye? I really love it when it's a 2-year-old. Don't you just love that? Cracks you up. Well, you know what that is? What that really is that's that old sin nature revealing itself. And understand that parents, our responsibility is to bring, in the course of their upbringing, life is going to bring out the sin nature, believe me. We're to bring that heart to Jesus. We're to teach them, hey, there's an issue here. Parents, there are non-acceptable behaviors that in our culture is deemed acceptable of all ages. It's not cute when a child pitches a fit at 2 years old because he's not getting his way. It's not funny. It has to be corrected. It has to be changed. And so you'll spend your time while you've got that kid in your home bringing that rebellious heart, which they've been born that way, as we were, you bring that rebellious heart to Christ. I'll say this, guys, it's not honoring to your parents if you're lying to them. Understand this, parents, that's not, kids, it's not honoring to your parents when you lie. But let me say this, what's popular in our culture, well, I didn't tell a lie, but you're deceiving. You didn't say anything. You didn't respond. You just said, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut. That way I'm not lied. Well, that's called deception. That's just as bad. That's called manipulation. You're trying to get your way. And the reality of it is that's not honoring. Matter of fact, you know what? We better thank God that we're not under the old covenant. In fact, you can go read it. We don't have time today, but in Exodus 21, two places, 15 and 17, if a young person were ever to strike their parents, or, verse 17, if they ever cursed their parents, if they ever cursed them, you know what happened to them in Israel? What happened? Anybody know? They took them out and stoned them. It's exactly right. So thank God we're not under that today. We're under grace today. The reality of it is, though, parents, it's not just about changing the action. The action's not the goal. The real goal is to get past the action, because the action is a fruit of a heart. The real issue parenting is to get to that child's heart. Let them understand, let them see, hey, there's a reason that I'm struggling with this. There's a reason that I don't want to obey. There's a reason that I don't choose to honor them. I don't choose to show them preference. Most children do what when they're growing up? They want it for themselves. It's all about them. And as that child encounters Christ, you know what they learn? Where does, in life, as an unsaved person, where is self? Self is number one. In Christianity, let me say this, biblical Christianity, true Christianity, where is self in the mix after salvation? Last, number three, it's exactly right. God first, others second, self is last. That's how you will be able to see if that person has truly encountered Jesus Christ, because it won't be all about them. So he says, honor them. And I'll say this. Did you realize in the United States right now, 8 million assaults on parents happen each year? Of course, our police officers would understand that more than we do. Kids attacking their parents. That's just so far from my mind, but I don't live in your world where you guys fight it every week. 8 million assaults in America yearly on children attacking their parents. Shows there's some issues going on in those hearts. Huge ones. Huge ones. We'll get more to that in a moment. So, young people, let me ask you as you think through this for a second. Do you honor your mother or your father? I want you to think for a moment, youth, young adults, children that live in the home or maybe college age and you come back in, you're still under their authority. I want you to think about something. Have you ever sat down, how can I honor my mother, my father today, this week? In the situations you encounter, you need to be asking yourself, what would be the right... You know, we can wear all the WWJD bracelets. You can have a bracelet that says WWJD from here to here. And if you're not sitting down making that a conscious part of your daily thinking, these things are all for naught. They're like vain repetition. Okay, you can wear all the bracelets you want, little necklaces with crosses on them, but if Christianity's not changing your life, I question your Christianity. Disobedient children who dishonor their parents reflect the heart of an unsaved person. It's very normal in a culture that rejects God, but in the Christian family, in the Christian home, that young person should desire to honor their parents by obeying them, but also by revealing that they choose to honor them. I'll tell you one biggie. If your parents say, you need to clean your room. How many of you, raise your hand if this is true. It would honor us if my kids would clean the room. Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Rest of you guys need to get on with it. You should expect that. I can tell you right now, when they go to work, their employer is not going to say, well, look at this daggum truck cleaning up. I'm not going to clean this truck out. My parents never made me clean my room. It would honor you for them to take care of that room that you have provided for them to eat and sleep and habit and inhabit. You say, well, that's legalism. No, it's not. It's called responsibility. You got a guy that becomes a mechanic. How about a hairdresser, Donna? How about if you got a hairdresser over there and she cuts hair, she does good, but she leaves that hair all over the doggone floor. And let's just say she cut, I need to borrow some snips from you girls. And you get some snips and you come back and she's just got them thrown everywhere. What are you going to do, sister? Employer will not be, Russ, how about you, bro? You got a man who's supposed to be a mechanic and you walk in his shop and you're stumbling all over wrenches and what are you going to do? We're going to have a chat. Now, let me ask you this. What if he says, but my mama never made me clean my room? What are you going to tell him? Not acceptable. I'll say, I'm not your mama. I know I'm putting you guys on the spot, but we got employers all over this place. What I'm trying to teach you is these are greater principles. Understand parenting. Parenting's not just about producing kids. It's about raising them. Parenting much more than just having babies. Our culture needs to get this one. If you have them, you need to raise them. Had a young girl years ago, I'm not going to tell you which church it was in, years and years and years ago. She was very active sexually. She began to come to the church, and I began to talk to her about her lifestyle. And she had had multiple abortions already. She came to me. And in fact, what happened was she came to me again. She said, I'm pregnant. I said, what do you expect? You didn't listen. You know, you claim to be saved, and you continue in this immoral, social, acceptable lifestyle, but it's wrong biblically. You're pregnant. Well, my mom is trying to get me to have an abortion. And I thought, you know what? If she never births the child, she never goes through the pain of childbirth. She never feels the fullness of, hey, this is the end result of my actions. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. I brought it up last week, remember? That's part of life. And if they don't learn it at home, I promise you, our government will at this juncture. Donnie and John, Jeremy, others that are law enforcement officers, they will enforce the truth. They're to learn it in the home. This mother called me long distance. How can you tell her that? Well, first of all, I happen to think that abortion is murder. I believe that the moment that child's conceived, it's a living being according to the Word of God. Well, we're Christians. I said, you may be, but this is what the Bible says. And so she went ahead and had the baby. And guess what? It changed her behavior. All of a sudden, she had to feed it. All of a sudden, she had to get up 2 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m. And I said, young lady, the next time you're tempted to go out and sleep with a young man who's not your husband, remember the cost. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you, that's reality. The parents are supposed to teach that. They're supposed to learn that principle in the home. I'll say this as we continue very quickly. As God changes the heart, He changes the attitude. A child's heart that's been changed by the power of Jesus Christ will be a heart that's changed and learns to honor. We don't get it automatically. We learn because, as we well know, we have to die to ourselves daily, don't we? What Galatians 2:20 says, I die daily. That's what it means. My old self, it says, I want to be number one. We die daily. Young people, welcome to Christianity. This is biblical Christianity. This is the biggest one that our culture that is accepting homosexual union and homosexuality as normal and saying you can be a practicing homosexual and a Christian, they don't get this. They don't see it as a lifestyle choice. We're born that way. I will agree they are born sinners, as I was. My preference was adultery. Well, adultery was just being sexual. It wasn't with men. It was with ladies. I was drawn to ladies. Theirs is drawn to men. That's true here with you guys. Every one of you. Every single one. The only difference between a homosexual and another person is the object of their affection. The alcoholic chooses what? Alcohol. The drug addict chooses what? The drug. The pornographer chooses pornography. Every single one. Guess what? We're all born sinners. I will agree with that one. But what our culture doesn't understand is that when we've encountered Christ and the Holy Spirit moves in, guess what? He changes us. How do I win the battle today? How do you win the battle today? Dying daily. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I say no to my flesh. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you say no to your impulses. And understanding, young people, that's the Christian walk. It's a walk of death to life. Because when you die to self, guess what? You rise to a newness in life, and that is in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. In fact, read on with me very quickly. Notice what he said. This is the first commandment with a promise. When you honor, young people, when you honor your parents, when you honor your father, your mother, when you choose by attitude and action to show them as priority, you know what the Lord promises? That it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. This is the first commandment. You can go over to Exodus chapter 20 if you'd like, verse 12, and see it. God promises. Now, it doesn't stop when you move out. Do you realize that you still honor your parents? And many, as a matter of fact, even the Lunsfords are up there with his parents this weekend. His mother's cancer is very, very, very critical. He's there this weekend. He's been there multiple times through the year. He's prioritized his mother, even though he's married with kids. And together, and Kimberly's dad has suffered as well. You know what they do as a family? As many of you also have done and are doing, you've prioritized your parents. You've not just cast them somewhere, turned your back, and said, I'll check on you in a quarter or 6 months. Understand honoring your parents is a continual opportunity till the day the Lord Jesus takes them home. Very powerful time. Now, let me say this. You can only do what they'll let you do. There'll be a day that I'll have to depend on my children. I hope I've got enough sense to let them do some things. But there are some children, there are some parents that just go, absolutely not. I got this. I'm good. And I might be one of them. I don't know yet. Your kids are trying to bless you, they're trying to help you, they're trying to protect you, and you're standing up there going, I ain't got to do that. What you're really fighting is old age. That's what you're really fighting with, and your kids are trying their best. And the one that I love, and I'm going to run this rabbit trail while I'm here. I'm plowing, I got to plow in the ground. Here we go, okay? Here's a biggie. Parents, 50 and older, if you don't have a will, shame on you. Shame on you. If you haven't left directives for your children, hey, if I kick the bucket today, and let me say this, you're going to kick the bucket. The moment you were born, you began to die. We just want to forget that part. And if we've made it to 50, guess what? Praise God, you're good. If you made it to 60, praise God. 70, 80, 90, praise God. But that wind is shutting. Okay? I mean, we're going down to see Tammy's mother. I mean, it's the grace of God she's lived this long. She's 90 years old. Why are we going? Why are we loading up everybody we can? In fact, if any of you don't have a place to go, come on, go with us. We're going to go down there and bless that dear lady today. Why is that? The wind is shutting. One of my in-laws has a 103-year-old grandma. You know what he does every morning for his grandmother? Now, this man runs, I think, 5 businesses. You know what he does every morning before he goes and gets his 5 businesses going? He goes to his grandmother's house. He has breakfast with her. He washes the dishes. She's in a wheelchair, 103 years old. She don't know she's 103. She still thinks she's 65. She thinks she's a youngin'. She's in, I mean, other than that, mentally, she's ready to go. She'd mow the grass if they'd let her. He goes in there. He'll make her bed for her. He gets everything set. And this is what her grandson does. That's what I'm talking about. What is it? Is that honoring or dishonoring his parent, his mother? Honor. Has he got other things priority-wise that he could be doing? Yeah. But none more important. She was a godly grandmother. And she used to read. He'll read the Word some days. They'll sit at the table together. We'll just read the Bible together. She's got her own daughters live on the farm. They don't even come by sometimes. Maybe once a week, twice a week on the same farm. She's got a friend. God has provided a grandson. He's actually 50 years old. Go by and bless that grandmother. Well, I'll say this. He understands. I love the promise that it may go well with you. Yeah, but y'all think about that. Young people, you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? I do. Man, I want God's favor all over me. God, tell me what else I need to do or not do. I want your favor. Well, first of all, grace, favor is a free gift. But here's a promise that if you do this, I will show you more favor. And the term he uses is that it may go well with you. It literally means the quality of your life will be blessed, will be improved. It'll improve not only your life, but it'll improve healthy family relationships. And I'll tell you this, there's no burden like a family burden, is there? Any of you ever been estranged from your family? Been estranged from your children? You understand that burden? But you know, when the Holy Spirit's in control and there's unity, because people can tell me they're walking with God all day long and I'll find out about their parents or I don't go see them anymore. Really? Well, now sometimes it's justifiable. Sometimes they just can't fellowship, and sometimes it just happens. But so much is possible with us, we should be at peace with all men. It shouldn't be on account of us that we're not in fellowship. The quality of life will be blessed. And I'll say this, peace is a good thing in life. I've met millionaires who didn't have peace. And I've met poor people who didn't have peace. Things do not satisfy. A job will not satisfy. Money does not satisfy. Okay? Fast cars, fancy cars, big trucks, doesn't satisfy. Fancy houses, more grass to cut, doesn't satisfy. But peace is a sweet, sweet treasure. And what he's promised, you honor your father and your mother, and you know what you'll find? Peace. And it's a good thing. In fact, we can read that, and you can. We're not going to for the sake of time. In Psalm 1, he promises that those who come under the authority of the Word of God, who love it, treasure it, they shall be like trees planted by rivers of water. It brings forth their fruit in their season. I love the last part. Brother Tim, I believe this is your life's passage, isn't it? And whatsoever we do, shall prosper. And we do it God's way, it's blessed. Honor him, young people. Lastly, in that portion, you may live long in the land, not just quality of life, but quantity of life. The Bible preaches and teaches us that your life will be extended when you choose to walk in obedience to the Word of God, when you surrender the attitude and the heart. What he's really talking about is extended with righteous behavior. Understand this. Guys, I know we're in an intelligent culture. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin, habitual sin, ultimately leads to death. Is that true? Think about it. In our culture today, we live as if it's not. We live as if it's not. That the wages of sin will not bring upon us harshness or even to the point of death itself. But the reality of it is, that's true. It will. But the opposite of that is also true. Righteousness exalts. It lifts up. The wages of righteousness is life. If you as a parent, you as children are saved and under the authority of the Word of God, the Spirit of God's in control in our lives, you know what you'll find? Peace and long life together. You'll be blessed as a family. You'll be blessed as individuals. Spirit-filled children obey their parents and honor their parents. And I'll say this, unsaved kids don't. So I'm asking our young people today, I want you to examine your heart very quickly. Examine your heart. What do your actions and your attitudes say about your heart? Is your heart selfish, self-righteous, arrogant? Only think about yourself. Never, ever acknowledge your faults. Never, ever acknowledge your sin, your wrong. Very real possibility that you've never come to know the Lord Jesus. Well, I prayed a prayer. Well, listen, you can pray 1,000 prayers. But if the reality of it is you were just praying a prayer and not doing business with the Lord Jesus, not allowing Him to change you, a very real possibility. You may not know Him. And how do you know that? By your attitudes and your actions. I'll simply say this. God can change that. That's the good news, is that God can change it. I'll tell you what we'll do, and I left off last week, is this. I will encourage you today, young people. I encourage you today to have an honest conversation with your parents. And I mean honest. Because one of the things you'll learn, what Satan says is, shh, don't tell them. But you know what God's Word tells us to do is that we're children of light. Children of light don't run around with things under the blankets, under the cover. You can examine our lives. Come ride with us. We got nothing to hide. There's nothing that's been done in secret. Be honest with your parents. If you've blown it, you know one of the greatest ways you can honor your mother today is to walk up to them and say, you know what, I really blew it. And you know what your mother will say if she's like mine? I know. I still love you. Wow. I don't know how many times I had to do that with mine. If you've blown it, let me say this. Don't let Satan keep heaping it on you. Just go to your mom. Make it right. Call her if you can. She's in heaven. Then put it under the blood. Confess it. Move forward. It's all you can do. We can't bring them back. Mine's on the other side. I can't bring her back. All you can do is say, you know, God, I've sinned in this area. I ask you forgiveness. First of all, do a self-examination. God, if I'm not truly saved, I need to make it right. Tell your parents that. No greater privilege for a parent than to bow beside their child and get to see him trust the Lord. They'll help you get there. Your parents are not out for your greatest harm. Your parents don't exist. Your grandparents don't exist just to see if they can, hey, let's see how I can mess up their lives. What Satan seems to tell so many, they're just trying to rob you of some joy. No, they're trying to protect you from death. They love you enough to tell you no. If you need to make some things right, need to make it right with Dad, go do it. There's no greater way to honor your family than to clear the slate, man. Let's clear it today and move forward. Put all that stuff under the blood and let's get up and go on and move forward. And when Satan tries to bring it up again next week, rebuke it. That's under the blood, Lord. I get thee behind thee, Satan. I put that under the blood. I've confessed it. I've turned from it. Change. You can by the power of Jesus Christ. I pray today that God will continue his transforming work in our hearts as he's been doing all this year. It's been a great season. God is working. And I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, as we wrap up this portion of this passage, we realize, Lord, we're all sinners. We're in need of a Savior. And we're so thankful and humbled this morning, Father, that your word teaches us that God, the Father, so loved the world. He so loved us that he sent his only Son, we know to be Jesus. That whosoever would believe in him, and that's not just a head knowledge, Lord. We understand your word talks about that being a trust, placing our hope, our trust upon Christ and his payment for our sin. God, it is my prayer this morning that if we have a young person here today that does not know you and their heart, their sinful heart has been exposed by their actions of disobedience and their attitudes of lack of honor and dishonoring their mother and their father, I pray that your Spirit will reveal to them that their greatest need is to be right with you. May your Holy Spirit bring them to a saving faith today. May you have them also go to their parents and acknowledge where they've blown it. And may you give their hearts and their parents receptiveness so that they might put all this stuff under the blood so that we might see the quality and quantity of life improved and blessed because the Word of God and the Spirit of God is at work in the home and the family. Bless our homes, our families, our young folks. God, just fill this place with your glory. And we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.